We welcome you to the latest conversations on the state of healthcare with our podcast sponsor, the North Carolina Healthcare Association. It is National Nurses Week and Hospital Week in May, and we are diving into the world of healthcare innovation, focusing right now on how hospitals are using virtual care and telehealth to transform patient experiences and, of course, enhance the well-being of our communities. Joining me is our guest, Dr. Matt Anderson, Advocate Health Senior Vice President and Senior Medical Director for Virtual Health. Advocate Health is based in Charlotte, North Carolina. It is the third largest nonprofit health system in the country, serving six states. It includes Atrium Health in North Carolina with 20-plus hospitals caring for communities in our state. Thank you so much, Dr. Anderson, for joining us.
And thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about your background and how you came into the world of telehealth.
You know, my background is as a primary care physician. And from in terms of telehealth, really, we talk a lot about accessibility within primary care and thinking about providing care for patients how, when, and where they want it. And as technology has advanced and we've had more opportunities, and certainly the pandemic was an accelerant for that, really got more involved in virtual, and that's really expanded my scope out now beyond primary care, more broadly across Advocate Health, and we're really excited about the direction that that's going.
Is that one of the things that we could say was a positive result of the pandemic, that you know more people embrace telehealth by necessity?
You know, we've been doing this for over a decade, and I think the beauty of this is really over that time period, the ability to build out that framework and chassis and be able to deploy across a number of different use cases. And so whether that's about deploying a longitudinal primary care model that's virtual for those people who want that to be more of a default way and creating the connectivity that we can between them and really reducing those barriers, whether it's about looking and saying, how can we bring virtual behavioral health consultations and innovations to people to make sure people are getting the mental health care that they need, whether that's about going into rural communities and bringing in specialty services and care so that they don't have to travel, or urban underserved areas so that some of their time pressures or transportation barriers are broken down. We really have a broad swath of ways in which we can utilize technology to different use cases, all in the name of serving all patients equitably and getting those outcomes that we want. So inpatient hospitals to ambulatory chronic disease to well care, there's a host of opportunities. And what we've really tried to do is build out that infrastructure from a virtual standpoint to enable us to better impact the health of our communities in a more convenient, simple, and easy way.
Okay, so you say things like longitudinal primary care model. That may sound like a big mouthful of misunderstanding for a lot of people. Break that down. That really basically means people who would not necessarily get as much care as they need can get more care now through telehealth services such as those provided by Advocate Health.
Correct. I think sometimes, you know, the legacy primary care has been 8 to 5 and you have to come to us. So when I talk about a virtual primary care model, I talk about one, there's ways in which people can get virtual visits with a primary care clinician. So that's one piece. We've tried to take it a step further, which is to say some people would prefer to have 80 or 90% of their interactions be virtual. And rather than having to have those in sort of a piecemeal approach, we've set up dedicated clinicians who that is their practice. They actually don't have a physical bricks and mortar practice. So you can go on, you know, and interact with that clinician, you know, purely virtually. Sometimes you're going to need in-person care. We connect people back to our foundational legacy structures to do that. But it's really a neat way for those people who have a barrier or just want the convenience or need the timing flexibility to be able to interface. So we're trying, again, to create more opportunities for us to go where the people are, to give them care how, when, and where they want it, rather than saying, you have to come to us 8 to 5, and it has to be in this one-size-fits-all manner.
Right. And I think it's really important to make note of the fact that this helps a lot of people and the health system overall, because you have, you know, cases of shut-ins, for example, who really don't want to get care, but by the time they do finally get out and get care, the care that they need is expensive, very invasive, and probably very not cost-effective for the healthcare system in general.
I think that's absolutely right. We see use cases within those people who are generally well, who are just really busy and need something quick and simple and easy. So that's one bucket. The other, you know, group that you mentioned is people who have really complex medical illnesses, and it's very difficult for them to get out. So how do we, rather than they need more care, but oftentimes they don't get that care, to your point, because it's difficult for them to get out, to be mobile, to do all those things, arrange the transportation. So this actually does create that better connectivity, which to your point leads to better outcomes. And we don't see those downstream where it's gotten so bad that you're going to the emergency department and you need to be hospitalized. We're able to deal with that in a more effectively upfront.
As someone who works very strange hours, I love the idea of healthcare that is not 9 to 5. So Advocate Health does also have a hospital at home program. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, this is a really exciting model, and we've been the national leader with the largest program in the country here since the pandemic. Another silver lining, I think, from that vantage point. And this is really delivering hospital level care to people who are clinically appropriate for it, to have that in the safety and comfort of their own home. And so that is something that we have now deployed to over 10,000 unique patients. And there's a lot of benefits that, when one, who doesn't want to be at home, right? Especially when you're not feeling well and you can do that safely. So we have community paramedics who will go out into the home and are obviously skilled in delivering acute healthcare related condition services. And then we use technology where we have 24/7 nurses available virtually that the patient can go ahead and immediately connect to. And we have physicians and advanced practice providers who are on and being connected via the community paramedic to deliver that care. And so that has benefits of, one, for the patient, obviously, who doesn't want to be at home? And the patient experience scores really bear that out, that there has been a really great response to this. It's been proven to be safe. It's been proven to be effective. And as we do that, we also know that you see across a growing state like North Carolina, where there are pressures of people who need to be hospitalized who don't have a bed and they're in the ER or something else. So doing this not only benefits the patient who is appropriate for hospital at home, it benefits the patient who is not, who doesn't have to wait for that bed because we've opened up access within the hospital itself. So the impact is really going beyond technology. Going into the home also affords us an opportunity to see what our patients are struggling with, dealing with, and some of those social factors that, if there are any, we can also help to better understand and address. And so that's been a huge win for the program as well.
So you can see, for example, if someone is living in a hoarding situation, or you can see if someone has food insecurity, and not from a judgment perspective, but in order to better serve that client or patient, you are able to see these things through the eyes of a community paramedic who is skilled and trained in recognizing factors that may contribute to someone's overall health.
Absolutely. I think, again, humbly asking the questions of, is this a challenge? How can we help? And then we can bring resources to bear to help get people connected for, you know, again, to your point, food insecurity or whatever other needs there are. You can also see fall, trip hazards, kind of all of those things that when we go into the home that historically have only been if you qualify for home health in a somewhat narrow definition sometimes. And so this is a different timing, and it helps us to keep people at home, which is really our goal. Nobody wants to have to go into the hospital. They're great to have if you need them, but us being able to be in the home does give us better insight and partnership with the patient to be able to keep them at home and keep them well.
So in our next segment, we'll talk with Dr. Matt Anderson, Advocate Health's Senior Vice President and Senior Medical Director for Virtual Health, about what drove Advocate Health to extend care beyond traditional medical facilities.